You're listening to Financial Focus with Troy Reinhardt and Tyler Simonis of Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. Call with your questions anytime at 877-670-7117 or email Troy at northwestquadrantwealth.com. From John Day to Bend and up the valley to Portland, here's Troy and Tyler.
It's hour number two. The marching band has left the field as they will start next week as we start college football. The Oregon State Beavers take on the powerhouse Portland State. So I think...
Didn't they open last year at Sac State?
No, that was... We got beat 2 years ago. Last year it was Western Washington University Eagles or somebody we got beat by. And the University of Oregon plays another powerhouse, too. They play South Dakota State.
Nice.
So
That's where that Jesse, my buddy Jesse went, who you know.
Jesse's a big boy.
Yeah.
He could have played there.
He did.
He did. Yeah. I did not know that. All right. Well, that's a whole nother story. All right. Let's get on to our guest. Our guest today is Greg Fowler. He's CPA with Fowler Company here in Oregon. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Medicare surcharge, which was part of Obamacare. A continuing gift given to you by Obamacare. This is the first year this is going to take effect, correct?
It actually did kick in 13.
In 13,
And so one of the reasons that I thought it might be interesting to chat a little bit about is we're starting to see returns coming through in this year's tax prep that are getting hit by this. And it does change the landscape of tax planning a little bit.
It's 3.8%?
Correct.
Let's talk about – why don't you describe what it is, Tyler?
Well, why doesn't Greg decide to describe it since he's the CPA?
Well, basically what the surcharge is, it was added to the tax code in order to help fund some of the extended health care coverages under Obamacare. And so basically what it is 3.8% surcharge for taxpayers who exceed a certain what's called modified adjusted gross income, or MAGI. But in any event, basically it applies to all of your – what you would think of as typical investment income – and some things that maybe you might not have thought of. But
what's the MAGI you have to get to?
Well, so everybody has to compute their AGI in getting to their tax liability. And modified adjusted gross income is basically where you have to add back a few things. And a couple of more common examples, student loan interest deduction, IRA contributions, and losses related to rental properties have to be added back in coming up with your modified adjusted gross income. And if that's more than $250,000
– penalty box.
Yep.
Then all your passive income become
right.
your
interest, dividends,
subject to that 3.8%.
Right.
So for a lot of people listening, dentists, doctors, all of these small business owners that easily have $250,000 in income above that,
that's right.
That have other passive income from investments, they're getting whacked with that.
They are. And, one of the things that people don't think about, typical, real estate investor who decides to sell some rental properties or some other kind of asset, that net gain is passive income or net investment income. So when you get into tax planning around sales of assets like that, now all of a sudden you're looking at people who may not be above that 250 on a normal year, but they go sell a piece of property, $150,000, $200,000 of gain to pick up, all of a sudden they're getting 3.8 on top of their capital gains taxes.
And passive income is defined as, for those who may not know, passive versus some. I'm sure somebody's going, what's active, what's passive?
Right, sure. The easiest way to think of that is active income is business income you generate, wages, things like that, versus passive, which is essentially income that comes to you through things like interest, dividends. K-1s where you don't participate in the business. You just happen to be an investor in a business.
Okay. All right.
So I know one of the things that Troy and I struggle with all the time as business owners is our business structure. We're an LLC. Our business is formed as an LLC. And we're always thinking, is this the right? Is it S-Corp? Is it C-Corp? Is it LLC? I assume you help your clients deal with what the best structure is for them. But has the tax code changes in the recent years, has that forced a lot more people into LLCs or S-Corps, or is it still on a case-by-case basis?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's a case-by-case basis, but no question that, this surcharge, as an example, has impacted that kind of planning. And it's a very common structure for business owners to own the building in which they operate their business in a separate LLC. and then operate their business out of that under a different entity. And historically, it was the general rule would be you would move income to the passive LLC that held the real estate. But with the surcharge kicking in, there puts a premium on keeping that income over on the operating business side of the equation for these investors.
So does it make sense not to have them as separate LLCs, or it still makes sense to be separate? You just keep the income on the operating side?
Probably generally you'd keep them separate. And then, what you're looking for is, generally speaking, in an operating company, because of some of the self-employment tax issues, S corporations tend to be a more tax favorable structure than, say, for example, a sole proprietorship or a single member LLC.
And you're listening to Financial Focus with our Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. And we're in the middle of talking to our CPA expert today. It's Greg Fowler with Fowler & Company here in Oregon. Anything else to add on the income part that you want to talk for? We drag you down some other rabbit hole.
I don't think so. I guess the only things I'd add is with the surcharge in today's planning world, it does start to put a premium on some of your tax-free, you know, muni bond type investments for your investors out there that are looking for more tax efficiency there. And there's also some planning opportunities around qualified plans for business owners. It puts some additional value on that tax deferral for them.
So even though muni bond interest is passive, that doesn't count in the—
Because it's not taxable.
Okay, yep. Got it.
You got it.
That's the one thing they didn't touch. They have to take care of their own.
Too bad you have to go 400 years to get any yield in the muni market, but that's a different conversation.
Long duration. Yeah. All right. Is there other mistakes that people make in the organization of their business that cause them problems down the road? Do you see that a lot?
Probably the most common mistake I see is people who set up operating companies and LLCs and they don't understand the implications of self-employment tax. Especially what I saw kind of coming out of the recession is you had a lot of people who had been displaced, and so they were starting their own businesses. They hadn't really been in business for themselves before. They hadn't had self-employment taxes. And that can really be a surprise for people when the tax bill comes along, because that's essentially 15% additional tax on top of the income tax. So by structuring as an S corporation, you have an opportunity to mitigate some of the impact of that self-employment tax. So that's probably the most common.
So these are people that are saying, okay, I'm just going to set up a business entity, and they go to their attorney, and their attorney says, okay, legally this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. The attorney doesn't know the tax code. So generally that person that wants to start that business should talk to their attorney, of course, to get the thing set up, but also their CPA to make sure it's the correct form, yeah.
No question. And there's a lot of attorneys that are very good at the entity structuring conversation. A lot of times it's the do-it-yourselfers that really get burned because they just don't understand the issues. But, yeah.
Do you see lots of people that go on LegalZoom.com and some of these crazy places? Because we see the same thing in wills and trusts. People try to go do it themselves and cause themselves more headache and more money in the long run.
Absolutely. And the conversation I have with clients when they come in and they're talking, hopefully I'm talking to them before they've actually decided to go into business with somebody else. My advice to them is you need to get a properly drafted operating agreement in place, and which can be expensive. But the reason you're doing that is not because that's going to make you more successful. It's going to make it less painful if it doesn't work out. And absolutely, all too often I've seen that pain when it's not working out.
Right. There's divorces in business just like there's divorces in marriage.
That's right. That's right.
So, and then you also have a consulting business that, real quickly, could you just talk briefly? You have people come in and,
sure,
and you can help them with sort of growing their business?
We do. So one of the aspects of my practice is working with companies that either are in need of debt restructuring because of bank covenants, or their operations aren't where they need to be and they need some help getting that turned around. And so from time to time, we get involved with those companies and help them develop strategies and forecasts to try to get the company turned around and go in the right direction.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today, Greg.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That was Greg Fowler with Fowler & Company, CPAs here in Oregon, help you with your business structure and doing your taxes and keeping you out of jail. That's what it's all about. I thought when you said people should come to you before they start a business so you could tell them they're crazy, but that's a whole different story. All right. When we come back, we're going to have a financial free-for-all, and we're going to take another call and some email questions.
You've found Financial Focus Radio Show, your smart money radio via the Northwest Network. Be part of the show by calling 877-670-7117, going to financialfocusradio.com, or emailing Troy Reinhardt at troy@northwestquadrantwealth.com. Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor with offices in Portland, Bend, and John Day, helping businesses and individuals plan, protect, and manage wealth. Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management is currently accepting clients. The truth in wealth building begins with a call to 800-743-0988 or by visiting northwestquadrantwealth.com.